But I wonder if we come back and see, and perhaps learn one from another, how we maybe gave out tracts, how we maybe took the opportunity to share something with a colleague, with a neighbor, with a friend, maybe with even someone in this room who may not be saved. And there are, what, 50 people here? If we all gave out 10 tracts each, that's 500 people get a portion of the gospel. Imagine what that could do if we were to do that once or twice a year. We are being set apart. And as we are set apart, we should be different from the world. So we have the concept of obedience. I think I've hammered that enough. We are to obey. We must. But I don't like to look at it so much from that aspect of, oh, we must. We should look at it from the perspective of, we should obey. If we consider what it is that has been done for us, we should obey. I trust that we may have the desire in our hearts, the humility, the desire in our hearts to want to obey, just like the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He came down from the throne on high and was born in a manger, in the world his hands made. And he ends up in a manger starting his world, his life here in this world. Nothing should be too low for us when we think of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you and for me. We should obey. Now in sanctification there is this obedience, but there are also responsibilities. And for responsibilities, I wonder if we may go back to the examples I had, and maybe on the royal family, maybe we could just look in Revelation chapter 1, I believe it is. Yes, Revelation chapter 1, and I'll just read 2 verses. Verses 5 and 6, Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us, now you know what translation I'm using, kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I pause there at verse 6. And hath made us, the translation may better read, a kingdom, priests. But perhaps if we may take the liberty to go with that, the two thoughts of kingdom and priest. Kingdom denotes royalty. He has made us royalty. Through what he has done, we're not worthy of it. We are all good for nothing sinners. But he has made us royalty. Now picture again the royal family. Maybe hard for you Republicans here. But picture the royal family and the functions they do. They are generally very busy. They open hospitals, they open sporting events, they open care homes, they cut ribbons here, there and everywhere. They go all over the place. They do trade deals. They do all kinds of meetings. So they are actually quite busy earning their keep. We have been made something royal. Are we busy? Are we earning our keep? Are we helping where there are needs? Are we fulfilling our royal responsibility? We are answerable to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have a responsibility. What would you think if the king of Queen of England, sorry, still a queen, if the Queen of England were invited to your school, my guess is everyone would be clean, well, the brothers would be clean shaven, would be clean, tidy, suit, tie, we'd be early, we'd be wanting to sit up front. Everyone want to be there to catch a look at the Queen. I hope so. But we want to see the Queen. And then what would you think if she just didn't turn up? You wouldn't think much of the Queen. And then her next event she had to go open up a children's hospital. Didn't turn up. What kind of Queen's that? Then she has to go for an old people's home. Didn't turn up. What kind of Queen's this? She's invited to attend a dinner of all the royal heads of the world, where they're all families. Doesn't turn up. You're not going to think much of them. Not very good at their job. What about you? What about me? Do we turn up to meetings? Do we turn up to help widowed sisters in our local assemblies? The elderly? Do we care for the younger ones in our local assemblies? We have a royal function to fulfill. Are we, are you, am I fulfilling it? It's not something to be taken lightly. We're not sanctified for nothing. We're not set apart just to wait for the Lord to come. We have a royal responsibility. And that verse we read in Revelation is the priesthood, this priestly function we have. Back in the Old Testament, a priest would have an annual occasion on which to turn up, to offer the sacrifice. How do you think it would be if that priest on that one day, in that one year that he had to be there to offer the sacrifice, didn't turn up? That would be pretty useless. You wouldn't be able to do the sacrifices. You wouldn't be able to offer them, because only the priest could do it. Now consider the same for you and for me. We have been made priests. We all have been made priests. What if a priest were to turn up and do nothing? What kind of priest is that? We can easily say these things when we look in history, and then we look in churches, and you see priests and pastors, and we can have all kinds of things to say about them. But what about you and I? We have been made priests. Do we bother to turn up? I don't need to go to prayer meeting. I've got everything I need. I don't need to go to prayer meeting. I've got no problems. If you're like that, let me know. I want to meet you. We all need prayer. I know the Bible inside out. I don't need to go to Bible study. If you're like that, I'd like to meet you. I'd like to find out how you do it, because I can't do it. Simple examples. The Father seeks worshippers. When we come together to worship and your seat is empty, how are you worshipping? We have these responsibilities, whether you want it or not, we have been made it. It's something special, something for us to value, to appreciate, something that we should be responding to. We can't just walk idly by and, oh, I'm saved, I'm all set, thank you. I'm waiting for the Lord to come. I don't need any of that stuff. You're going with the flow.